Not many opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
And welcome into the Blitz today, live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, Monday, September 16th, kicking off your week. Hey, for the first time in a long time, it is a victory Monday for the Tennessee Volunteers. We are hanging out here. We'll be here all week getting ready. You transition right from Victory Monday directly into Florida Week. We've been here before. We'll be here again. Big week coming up for Tennessee. It's good stuff to talk about. I know that, you know, everyone's looking at Florida. I don't know what people are thinking. There's certainly some people who are saying that, hey, Tennessee got their first win. Florida slipped up against Kentucky. They got a backup quarterback. I don't know. But we got Florida coming up this week. We'll get into it. My name is Rick Butler. To my left, Brandon Orrick. To my right, Chance Collins. Happy Monday.
What's up, Rick?
You know, just trying to kind of it was a big sports weekend. Really excited for tonight. All three of us, we're going to Monday Night Raw. That's fun.
Monday Night Raw.
Ooh.
Raw.
Wrestling. Wrestling.
I'm excited for that. But all in all, this was a good sports weekend. I mean, college wasn't great.
I might come in costume tonight.
Oh yeah.
Maybe
a little luchador style.
Little luchador.
Yeah.
Maybe a little Hollywood Hulk.
Oh.
You just never know.
You got the NWO Hulk. Love it.
I'm genuinely excited now.
You're genuinely excited.
Excited to see what's in store for tonight.
Oh yeah, it's a first wrestling event. It's gonna be pretty exciting. I can't really lie. I'm pretty excited for it. Just something new.
Yeah.
I clown wrestling a lot, but I've never been to it. I always thought that like going to an event would be pretty cool. But big sports weekend. It was a good weekend. Vols get the first W. UTC. It is what it is. Then they can take too much from it. But you're right. A lot of people are talking now.
There's some chatter going around.
As Felipe Franks went down. Looks like he's going to be out for the season. He tore his ankle up bad.
I mean, it's the same old song and dance, right?
Yep. I kind of warned you guys about this if you don't. You may have forgotten. It's like Tennessee will beat UTC. Something will pull everybody back in before the Florida game.
Well,
this is a little hope. It's a little bit of hope for people.
I told Rick. I mean, circumstances were a little different, but I told Rick a few weeks ago. I think it was even before the season started. So it was before we had lost all hope and everything and went down the crapper.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him, I was like, you wait and see. Things will be going smoothly. We'll be playing competitively in the swamp. And then Felipe Franks will go down. Their backup quarterback will come in, and then it'll be
Jeff Driscoll all over again.
Yeah.
But, like when Austin Appleby tore us up.
What was the wide receiver that tore us up here in Neyland that they put out there at quarterback? Can't remember his name, but he tore us up. Will Muschamp's team.
I don't even remember.
Another game that happened over the weekend. Brandon, you were there. Nissan Stadium. Indianapolis Colts visiting the Tennessee Titans. You were live at the game.
I was. That game was played on the surface of the sun.
That's what I heard. I turned it on as I was kind of just flipping channels throughout the day.
The announcers,
I saw triple digits.
The broadcasters, they were talking about that a lot, just the heat and how humid it was. They were so surprised.
I mean, the actual temperature was 95, so I don't know what the feels like was, but the actual temperature was 95.
Were you sitting in the shade?
There was no shade.
There was no shade for you.
There was no shade to be found anywhere.
And I guess especially when you're playing that game at for Central Time, noon on the dot.
Noon. The sun is directly overhead, beaming straight down on everyone.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's brutal. Look at all this. It's a little better today than it was yesterday, but got a little sun yesterday.
Only shade coming from the concourse. My sister, she got a nice cool treat for that one yesterday. She works for AT&T. In Nashville, and she got to sit in the suite. She got to sit in the boss's suite for that game. Her and my nephew.
Wow.
Sending me pictures, suite life.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
Because it was very hot.
Yeah, you're down there with all the common folk.
Speaking of the Titans and the Colts, let's jump over to the Next Door Home Group hotline. Start off it, yeah?
One thing. Shout out to Donovan for the tickets, though.
Oh.
Thank you, Donovan, for the tickets.
Good man,
We love Donovan. Great guy.
Yeah.
Good follow on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
A little bit of a free plug there. Speaking of the Titans, though, we'll jump over to the Next Door Home Group hotlines, which you yourself can call 865-546-8200. Get a call from the one and only Titans, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Before I comment on the Titans, and I know that you're wanting to hang Jeremy Pruitt by its thumbs, but guys, it's not going to happen. He is not going to be fired. So you could wish it.
If he goes 1-11, Titanic Williams.
Wishes is not going to come true.
Hey.
I believe in Jeremy Pruitt.
Do you?
Of course, Butch Jones made a fool out of us. Derek Dooley made a fool out of us. But I do not believe that Jeremy Pruitt is going to make a fool out of us.
Now, Titans, Bill, is that just kind of...
You can think what you want, gentlemen, but it's not going to happen.
No way, no how.
Titans, Bill, are you...
Don't dream of it, because he's not going to get the act.
He does.
Are you saying, like, ever or this year?
Or this year or ever.
Whoa.
Nope.
Oh.
Ever?
Oh, easy now.
Giving a nice little quote from the late, great Andy Williams when the Bear wanted to bum him for cookies. That was on his variety show. They're not going to fire him now, never, or ever.
Well, I mean, we need to start seeing some winning for that to happen, but...
Well, the sleeping giant has finally woke up.
After a UTC win?
To beat Florida.
Seriously, Titanic William, I love you to death, man.
Seriously.
But after...
call me crazy if you want to, but I believe if Tennessee could play that same kind of game against Florida as they did against UTC...
It was UTC. It was UTC. Your quarterback still didn't even show you much. He threw eight times. He still didn't look that great. And it was UTC. Like, you can't take anything away from that.
Well, so?
What do you mean, so? It's a Division II FCS school. No.
If they could play that same type of game, I believe they could beat.
You can't just be like, so.
Crazy if you want to, but I still believe they could.
You're delusional. I'm not going to call you crazy. That's rude, and we have to watch out the terms that we use in these times these days. It's a different era. We can't just be calling anybody crazy. We got to worry about mental health and things like that. But you're delusional to think that they're going to play the same game versus Florida. One, two, it's UTC, so it does make a difference. You're playing an SEC opponent this coming.
I may be old, but I'm not delusional, pal. I believe they're going to make it happen if they have a great week of practice, which I feel that they will.
I mean,
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Florida is not that good. They were very lucky to beat Kentucky.
I won't deny that. I think that
Indianapolis was very lucky they beat the Titans. Indianapolis is not that good.
I think I disagree. I think the Colts should have lost that game, and I think it was just total ineptitude from the Titans quarterback and head coach.
I feel like the Colts, there was a point in the towards the end of the fourth quarter where I was like, the Colts are begging to give this game away. They're just asking for it, and the Titans not one time could close on an opportunity. To all the Titans fans out there, maybe you should worry a little more about your own quarterback rather than spinning the narrative on division quarterbacks like Andrew Luck. A lot of talk about how Titans are we're finally going to beat the Colts.
Yeah, I know,
Andrew
right?
Luck. Hey, worry about your own horrible quarterback,
there was
okay?
so much talk.
Yeah, the Titans fans just need to chill.
Titans fans are worse sometimes. I'm not going to lie. Like, and I say that from being a Titans fan.
You agree with what?
I agree with you there on Marcus Mariota. Because if he don't have a good year, adios.
I mean, Titans, but there was talk before the season started about maybe having a quarterback battle, him and Tannehill. I mean, do you not try? Do you not try to throw out Tannehill? See if he's any better?
Well,
and the thing,
what that game is history. I believe that they'll
snapping clear Titans Bill over here. Snapping clear.
Jacksonville this coming Thursday.
You got a short turnaround.
Hopefully it'll be a clean sweep of Tennessee versus Florida, not only on the college side, but on the pro side.
I think the biggest, you guys talk about Mariota, the biggest thing is the fact that, I mean, he doesn't, and thanks for the call, Titanic William, he's still doing a lot of the same things, whether it's just inconsistent play. The hit that he took yesterday, he tries to hurtle over some defenders.
What was that?
And I was like, when I saw that, I was like, what is he doing? He is like the most fragile quarterback in this division.
Does he not want to play this
year?
Yeah,
like, one of the top, you know, injury-prone quarterbacks in the league, and he's putting his body out there. I mean, I know it's a contract year, but he's still doing some of the same stupid things.
I mean,
Titans, they're tough, man.
Like the Mariota had 9 more yards on 2 more attempts and 2 fewer touchdowns than Jacoby Brissett did. Jacoby Brissett, a perennial backup quarterback throughout his entire career. Well, meanwhile, Mariota's had the reins since day one in Nashville. Couldn't even out-duel Jacoby Brissett on the other side of the ball. A guy who just realized he was starting, maybe 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, and Brissett, he's probably never going to be anything to, like, you know, write home about. But I still believe, and I've said this before, I still think Jacoby Brissett can lead the Colts to take that division. That division's not that strong, and the Titans are so up and down like the Vols. I think Brissett can lead them to victory, and they can still take that division. I mean, their biggest competition is probably going to be the Texans, but he's serviceable enough, and that's why they gave him $20 million. He's at least serviceable.
865-546-8200. That is our number if you would like to call in and join the program today. We are broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Going to catch a quick break and then jump over to the phone lines to take call from Philly. Do not go anywhere. We'll be talking some Tennessee football. You'll get some good opinions from this call as always. We'll see you on the other side of the break. This is The Blitz. Crashing, 10:20 a.m. here back on The Blitz. Rick, Chance, and Brandon hanging out with you for the next hour and a half or so. Talking Tennessee football, talking Titans, NFL, college football, whatever it is, we are going to get into it today here on The Blitz Fan Run Radio. Let's go ahead and jump over to the Next Door Home Group hotline real quick, though. Take a call from Phil. Good morning. Happy Victory Monday to you, sir.
Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers still can't beat Brandon's Colts.
Now you're talking the language.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, it is.
If Tennessee can't win a bad game as long as the Titans get beat, my weekend's always satisfied.
I don't know what it is about them, Phil. They're just...
Well, the Oilers. I mean, that's what's about them. They're not anything except 1 yard short.
Yeah, exactly. To me, like, it's funny, right? To me, I'm treading lightly saying this because it's a lot of my best friends, a lot of our listeners, but to me, it's the Titans fans who have just, like, turned me against that team. Not that I was ever really for it, but, like, with the whole Andrew Luck situation, you had all these people who are just so obnoxious on the internet talking about Andrew Luck, talking about how sad the Titans fans were, or Colts fans were, how the Titans are now in position, how this and that and this and that. And you know what? It looks like you spent a little too much time worrying about the other teams. Hey, you got a quarterback. That sucks. You should don't stop. Why are you talking about the Colts? Why are you trying to trash talk the Jags and the Texans? Figure out your own team.
Yes.
It's just stupid from the outside opinion.
Like with the Titans, I know we're just going at Titans fans, but it is true. Like that, Andrew Luck went down. They thought the division was theirs. They still just revere Marcus Mariota for whatever reason, and he's been pretty much a flop, just like Jameis Winston. Both of those quarterbacks have been pretty much flops. He can't get it done, and, you know, Titans fans always, you know, I guess better luck next year. But they still can't beat the Colts for whatever reason. I think it's bad coaching, and I think they need to put in Tannehill. Why not?
Yeah. Well, good that y'all got Chance and the fabulous Rick Butler and Colt Brandon in there today. It's cool, you know. I guess congratulations to Chance for his Packers beating Minnesota.
Yeah, it was a good one.
How they drummed them for the beginning of the game especially, too.
Yeah,
and then held on well.
Then the thing about it, and we talked about it last week, Rodgers looks pretty focused this year, looks a lot better than last year. But the thing was, Green Bay spent a lot of money, finally, on that defense, and that's what you've seen carry them in the last two games versus the Bears and the Vikings. Two division wins, too, Phil, starting off right.
Yeah, and me and Dallas Rick Butler's Cowboys are 2-0.
Yep, Cowboys 2-0, got a big division win.
Oh, we look good, Phil.
I mean, Prescott.
He's throwing the ball.
He's finally coming in. He got a new offensive coordinator. Finally looking like he could be something.
It's still crazy to me that Kellen Moore, former Boise State quarterback, is the offensive coordinator. He was quarterback's coach for, a year? He was just their backup in 2017.
Yeah.
And now he's the OC.
And he's completely changed.
Do you
know what's been going on the last 5 years?
You know what this
sets
it up for? When Jason Garrett fails, Jerry Jones likes to go with former quarterbacks as coaches, as we've seen. Kellen Moore's going to be the eventual Cowboys head coach.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that, you know, Jerry is just throwing all kinds of money at him in the coordinator positions and stuff, just kind of grooming him.
He'll be head coach eventually.
He's never going to let him leave. He's definitely going to be grooming him for that position. But, yeah, Phil, we had a fun day yesterday.
Phil, dude, what'd you think about Titanic Williams saying that, you know, if Tennessee comes out and plays the same game they did versus UTC, they'll have a game versus they'll have a chance to be
fourth. He'll always be older Bill to me. I mean, he don't halfway says don't come true, so I'm pretty sure that we'll go down there and lay an egg like we always do.
Are you any more with Felipe Franks out, you give him a chance? I don't think it's any different. I still think you go to Gainesville.
I don't think it's any different either because, you know, we have no quarterback. That's what the problem is. If Tennessee had a legitimate quarterback, they could have won 8 or 9 games this year. Because really the team, like I said in the last show, the team is improved a little bit each week. But the quarterback position is so bad, it's like having a point guard in basketball. If you don't have one, you can't win.
Yeah, that's a good point you bring. The offensive line, defensive line, they have improved. Like, week to week, they actually have. But the thing that's holding you back, running backs improved. The thing that's holding you back is your quarterback play hasn't changed at all.
One thing, guys, did y'all watch College Game Day?
No.
I watched most of it.
Did you see the segment where they were talking about Tennessee and
– and the kid?
Well, I saw that, but supposedly the
they talked about Tennessee and how the fan base and they pretty much were pretty critical on Pruitt. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they were at, you see, Luke Hoschel said Tennessee could be 1-6.
Yeah,
and then what's Philip Fulmer going to do? And then
and one of them said
Chris Fowler said, well, he hired him.
Yep,
Fulmer hired him. So that right there puts it all in a nutshell. Even ESPN sees what's going on in fantasy Rocky. Really, Tennessee fans are. I guess half of them are Titan fans, so, you know, that's what goes on. Just keep meddling in mediocrity. As long as our administration is mediocre, we're going to continue to lose.
Yeah, same old song and dance. But, yeah, it did surprise me that the game day crew, like you said, Chris Fowler, Desmond Howard, and company, I mean, even, I guess it was David Pollock that was sitting there with them at that time, they were all very critical. They said, yeah, it's on Fulmer, and they said, what's he going to do? And then Lee Corso, I believe, said, he's going to get out there and coach. One of them threw that out there. He'll fire him. He'll coach. One of them did throw that out there too.
Let's just go to one normal freak show to another. But Jeremy Pruitt has been here two recruiting cycles and has yet to have a good quarterback. Now, hopefully Harrison Bailey is the answer, but can we wait around? I mean, go 1-11 or 2-10. Is Harrison Bailey going to be available?
I think if you win one or two games, I think that's tough for them not to pull the trigger and get rid of him. If that's all you win, if you win three games, four. Like if you go less, if you don't go 5-7 like you did last season, I don't know how you keep the guy. Now people are going to say the buyout and because of Harrison Bailey, you don't want to lose him. Does Harrison Bailey want to come to a team that went, 2-10? When he steps back and thinks about that, does he want to? Where's Tennessee going? If Harrison Bailey's so good, can't the next coach come in and probably benefit from him too? And if you get a great coach, you probably keep him anyways.
Yeah, but who's in charge? Again, here we go again, Chance. Who's in charge of the athletic program? See.
Yeah, and I mean, Phil's right. I mean, you should be 3-0 right now.
You should be.
Tennessee should be 3-0 right now, and we should be we should be talking ourselves into how we're going to beat Florida this weekend, to have our hearts ripped out on Saturday. But the point remains, we should be 3-0 heading into Florida.
Ranked. You'd be 3-0 ranked going up against Florida.
And, I mean, you look around the conference. Look around the SEC East. It's wide open. I mean, Georgia is Georgia.
But
Florida,
it's wide open.
I mean, Florida, I mean, Franks goes down. He's out for the season. Terry Wilson at Kentucky, he's done for the season. Jake Bentley's done for the season. Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt. If you had a quarterback who is serviceable, you've got a realistic chance to have a really nice season. And I mean, you should have won that first game regardless who your quarterback is. That one was all on effort. So I don't know if we'll ever get over that one. But it's frustrating when you go back and you think, hey, we should be in prime position to have a really nice season. I mean, you could win 8-9 games if you had a decent quarterback, if you had someone who's just serviceable. I think South Carolina is very beatable. I think Mississippi State is very beatable. I mean, they lost to Kansas State this weekend.
Yeah, I think Mississippi State, and that was a game always like, it's kind of a pick'em game when I was looking at the schedule. I don't know about South Carolina because the way that they played in the first half versus Bama, I mean, like, they kept it close, and a fumble here, and like, Bama getting that big fourth down with Najee Harris, that kind of took them out the ball game, that big run. But, they played pretty – versus Bama first. So now I look at South Carolina. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, and their backup, Ryan Helinski, he actually pretty damn good for a true freshman backup in there.
In regards to South Carolina, like losing to Alabama as an unranked team, 47-23, is not that bad in perspective, right? Most unranked teams, a lot of these teams going up against Alabama, are way more closer to losing by a score of 40-0, 47-7, something like that. So 47-23 at least is more respectable than you would have given South Carolina.
But the first half was very close.
Did
you watch any of that game?
Yes, I tuned into a little bit of it.
First half was like, South Carolina had a chance. Like, they were doing the right things. They weren't scared. They were Muschamp was going for it on fourth down. They were picking up big yards. I mean, Helinski, he wasn't fazed by that defense. He was making some big throws. And just their defense was also playing pretty consistent until the big Najee Harris run, and that was pretty much all of it after that. But, yeah, you just got to – man, we play in Alabama, you got to stop the chunk plays, and they couldn't do that. But – yeah, South Carolina scares me a little bit more now.
Absolutely.
I think they're a lot better than we ever gave them credit. It looks like their quarterback is doing not even just serviceable to Jake Bentley. He's doing a damn good job to where, if Bentley comes back and he's not 100%, do you put him out there? Because the backup's playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Mississippi State, you're right. I think Tennessee has a shot against them. But like Phil said, we still – quarterback play hasn't improved. If you don't see any improvement from quarterback play, you don't have any shot versus these teams that are pick'em games, even versus Kentucky with no Terry Wilson, how lack of talent they looked like compared to last year.
Yeah, I'm going to I still think those back half of the games you can reserve a little bit of judgment for. I don't want to come out and say definitively about the Kentucky game because Kentucky is a little confusing, right? You would hope that Tennessee does continue to improve throughout the year. You don't know what's going to happen with Terry Wilson. But at the same time, hey, Kentucky just played a top-10 Florida team, you know, up to the wire. I know Florida lost their quarterback, but, you know, we'll see how Kentucky ends up shaping out. There's still a lot of season left to go. We're talking a lot about the SEC quarterbacks right now. Let's go ahead and narrow that down. Let's get into these Tennessee quarterbacks. Jarrett Garantano, Brian Maurer, JT Schrout. All three of them played on Saturday against the Mocs. On the other side of the break, we'll go ahead and we'll get into each one of their performances. We'll talk about what we think is going to happen in the future and what should happen in the future with the Tennessee quarterback position. Woo! I'm out of breath. I got to catch my breath real quick during the commercials. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. 45-0, that is the final score from Neyland Stadium on Saturday afternoon. The Tennessee Volunteers defeat the Chattanooga Mocs, and really they did work the whole time, scoring 21 points in the first quarter, 17 in the second quarter, 7 in the third quarter, 0 in the fourth. The defensive backs also ended up getting 4 interceptions. Jeremy Banks had 2, Nigel Warrior had 1, and Kenny Solomon had 1 towards the end of the game there. I'm looking for anything else that stands out. Darrell Taylor recovers a fumble. Chattanooga actually fumbled twice on the day, but they only lost one of them. You had a whole slew of receivers catch a pass. You had a whole slew of running backs eventually run at least one ball. But, hey, the story of the game that I think that we are talking about the most going into it and what we need to talk about right now is the quarterback situation. Now, if you remember correctly, a couple weeks ago, Jeremy Pruitt spoke to the media, and he said, if you've been around our program the last 6 months, you know who our best quarterback is. Now, us, you know, being around the program, but none of us are really inside of the program. I think that's what he meant, being at all the practices, being at meetings, everything like that. So we were naturally skeptical, right? We were saying, hey, well, you're telling us that, but you also have these other two quarterbacks on the bench that we haven't seen, so we don't really know yet.
Well, I think for us it was, okay, Garantano is bad. Garantano, excuse me. He's bad. There's no way the other two quarterbacks can be that bad, right? Right?
That was the idea going
so
into it.
So it was like, can we at least see that they're that bad? I think that's kind of what it was for me.
Yeah, that's what we were, right? We were just saying, hey, we know you're saying that, but we would like to make our own assessment of that by seeing actually all three quarterbacks play. So Tennessee goes out and does that last Saturday. Jarrett Garantano first. He goes 7-for-8, 142 yards, 17.5 yards averaged on each catch, and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. So he starts the game, and then in the middle of the second quarter, Brian Maurer came in for a drive, which he didn't really, not much happened with. If I remember correctly, it was a 3-and-out moving left to right down the field. And then Garantano comes back in, and then the second half is really where you see the backups. JT Schrout, he goes 3-of-9 for 23 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Brian Maurer, 0-for-2. Obviously, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He does not complete a pass at any point on the field. To me, there's a couple of things that stand out to this. To me, watching the game, JT Schrout does not look like he's in competition for the starting job. He, man, it just looked like not all of his passes were there. Not all of them were crisp. There were a couple balls thrown short. There were a couple that were just way off target. To me, JT Schrout, it looks like, hey, this is probably a guy who's not in the quarterback competition. Then the real question is Brian Maurer. This is the big, you know, topic of discussion, I think. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, we still want to see Maurer. You know, he should have had more passes. They should have called him more plays. And, yes, I agree with that. I don't think we're going to really be seeing much of Brian Maurer the rest of the season. The question that I face here is JT Schrout, obviously, I don't believe will be the starting quarterback of this team at any point this season unless it's injury-related. So then why did Brian Maurer only get 2 attempts called to him? We believe that Brian Maurer is better than JT Schrout. I'm not really sure why, right? But I think that's a common belief from a lot of Tennessee fans. And a lot of people still want to see Brian Maurer, but, you know, if you kind of just look at what happened in the game, you know, tell me why J.T. Shrout got almost five times the amount of passes that Maurer, you know, that they called for Maurer. To me, looking at Jeremy Pruitt's quote, it's like, all right, I know that we have a lot of issues with Garantano. I know he's not going to lead us to the promised land. I know that he's really going to frustrate us at a lot of points this season. But I kind of look at Jeremy Pruitt after this game right here versus Chattanooga and say, you know what? He probably is our best quarterback. He probably is the best chance going forward.
Yeah, and it's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, because you wanted one of these guys to really shine.
I don't know how you get here. I'm not sure how you get here as a program where you just don't have a competent quarterback. I mean, especially at Tennessee. I mean, how do you not recruit somebody who can go out there and just manage a game? Make the throws when they need to make the throws. I'm not asking you to throw for 500 yards. I'm not asking you to go out there and light the world on fire. Just make the throws when you need to make the throws. Let's say it's third and six. If you're going to throw the ball past the first down marker, I'm not asking for a lot. I don't know how you get here as a program where you don't have anybody. And I feel like some of it is you recruit the wrong guys, you miss on guys, but some of it's development. I mean, I don't know if any of these guys, I mean, this is the first time we've really seen a lot of them in action. First time we've seen Maurer. Did Trout play any last year? Did he get in some of the games?
Not that I remember. I don't remember.
I'm checking right now. It looks like no, he did not.
Yeah,
so it's the first time you've seen both of those guys, and what you've seen at Garantano, I mean, it doesn't look like he's really improved at all since his time here.
Yeah, I think that goes to speak on his development. You know, he's had four different coordinators or whatnot, but still, at the same time, he's not developing. He's regressed. The fact that you don't have legitimate backup, kind of some glaring signs there, and you can't even pick out one. I won't lie, I was in and out on this game. It was pretty much a snooze fest. We knew what was gonna happen.
Yeah, after that 21-0 first quarter,
yeah,
I think a lot of people probably kind of checked out.
I watched the first quarter. I started flipping around to different games. I also took a little nap in there, so I didn't see much from the backups. I know that going back watching some of it, it looked like Trout got hit in the mouth, and then he kind of opened up a little bit better. But like you say, you didn't see much from anybody. And the special teams was better, defense was better, and like Phil said, everything's gotten better each week. And you love that they were able to have a game plan and actually go out and execute it. That's number one. That was good to see that. You love that they went out there and they actually handled business and shut out a team they're supposed to shut out and put up points on the board. But I didn't see anything from any quarterback. You know, going back and watching, or the time that I watched from Jared Garantano, he threw eight passes, and yeah, he was 7 for 8, but it wasn't like those eight passes that he looked like Brett Favre or, you know, Tom Brady out there.
No,
there were some ducks.
He had, I think, two long passes that I thought were nice. But yeah, those 7 of 8 passing was very game manager-esque against Chattanooga, and I think it was easy to see that. Now, there were a couple throws and a couple instances to me that I was optimistic about, and it got me a little bit encouraged, especially because, you know, we know that JG is the quarterback now this season, and so you got to find something to be encouraged about to keep a little bit of sanity. But, you know, he goes out there, he gets his job done. You know, what he had to do, he got the job done. He built a lead for Tennessee. He allowed the game to be, you know, strongly controlled by the Vols so that Shrout and Maurer could get some time in the game. He did that, but man, it's just, there's a lot of, I saw a lot of people on Twitter yesterday, and I was talking to some people about this, and they were still saying, you know what, we still need to see Maurer. We still need to see more of Maurer. For me, it's like, hey, that ship has sailed. we're now in the thick of the argument, or in the season. You're gonna run out Maurer versus Florida in Gainesville when you didn't even really have the confidence to give him more than two attempts yesterday or on Saturday? To me, that Brian Maurer ship has sailed unless it's just all hell breaks loose with JG and he looks like he can't even properly field a snap from the center. To me, it's just, hey, JG is your quarterback moving forward. That's just something we're all going to have to deal with. We're all going to get frustrated by it. He's going to make a couple plays here and there where you're like, okay, all right, that was pretty nice. I wasn't expecting that. But I do not see at any point this season the staff making a change to Shrout or Maurer. And I'm sorry, I don't see us giving Maurer a lot more opportunities. And I know there's going to be people upset about that. There's going to be a lot of people that are extremely ticked off that Maurer is not going to get any more opportunities because they think he's the guy over Garantano. But at some point, we have to look at this coaching staff and say, you know what? They've clearly made their decision. They only gave him two passes because I don't know if they're really looking for him in that game situation. To me, when you give one guy, you know, nine attempts and the other guy two, you're wanting to see more from the guy you're giving nine attempts to. To me, they wanted to see more from JT Shrout, and they just didn't get it.
That makes no sense to me why you only let him throw the ball twice.
It doesn't. And I even told this to a guy on Twitter when I was arguing that, hey, JG is probably your quarterback. I was like, I don't even know if this helps my argument. I don't know if this helps your argument. I don't know. But why is it that he only got two?
I don't know. I mean, two throws? And what did we talk about all last week? Well, who's your backup? Who's your backup? Let's play devil's advocate here. Let's say that Garantano doesn't make it through this gauntlet of Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi State. Let's say he doesn't make it through that. He gets hurt. Let's hope he doesn't. But what if he does? Who's your backup? You're only giving him two throws?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense at all, especially, you know, I thought they were just going to be gunslinging it, you know, especially that you're playing UTC.
Yeah, throw it around.
Get a lot of guys, yeah. Give them as many pass attempts as you can. I mean, hell, get Jared Garantano. I thought he'd have more pass attempts as well. Quarterback position is what's going to be the downfall all season. I have seen a lot of improvement. Nigel Warrior, a lot of improvement in that game, coming up, being a force, getting the interception, run back, also, like I said, special teams, the punt block. Second time you've done that in the last, what, five seasons, I think is what the stat that popped up.
Oh, so. That was awesome. Tyler Byrd made the block, and yeah. Brandon Jennings came up with
and
the
scoop and score.
Good for that him. That was great.
So you're seeing improvements at every critical position group outside of the quarterback, and that's why I don't think they can win big games. And that's why I believe we're looking at a 3-9 season, because the quarterback's going to continue to be your downfall. Even on the deep throw you're talking about, I think I remember, Garantano's still, like, wound up, like, really, like, a big long wind-up.
Yeah, it was a long time to get the ball out.
And, yeah, and you're not getting that pass off against the SEC. I mean, we know Florida has a pretty good secondary. They got Henderson back there. They got a bunch of big names in that secondary that they're going to pick off a lot of those passes. A lot of those passes, so... Can't take much away from UTC because of the opponent. Man, people are sure putting on the orange tinted glasses, and they're getting pretty excited. Put a poll up at Fox Sports Knoxville momentarily ago. Just asking people, how confident are you of Tennessee's chances as we head into Florida Hate Week, as we like to call it, and Felipe Franks is out. You have choices of very confident, confident, not confident at all, and then also the write-in vote. Get your answers in there. So we'll see how that turns out. Go back and update that as the show goes on.
If you want to give us a call, 865-546-8200 to get on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline. Eli Corum in the Nextdoor Home Group with Keller Williams. No gimmicks, just results. They're in the top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. They're straightforward, and they get the job done with money left in your pocket. You can check them out online, nextdoorhomes.com. Or give them a call, 865-233-9461. The Nextdoor Home Group with Keller Williams, Eli Corum. Check them out. We'll take a quick break. Close out hour one when we continue.
Back here on the Blitz, wrapping up hour number one. It is a couple minutes until 11 o'clock. We're going to continue the Tennessee conversation. We're going to continue the NFL conversation as we go throughout the show. Let's look take a look back at this weekend, though. College football games all around the country happened, but no really great ones. There were no top 25 matchups or anything. I think that one of the best games that I saw over the weekend was Washington-Houston from Friday night. It was pretty fun. Let's see. Number one, Clemson rolls, Bama rolls, Georgia rolls, LSU, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Auburn. There were no good games, but then you get to Florida. The only team in the top 10 with a little bit of a scare.
Yeah, there wasn't. To
play and this. How do you even explain this game? Kentucky beating Florida, and then it was just an all-out dumpster fire the fourth quarter. And I'm just seeing this number for the first time. I knew it wasn't good, but Florida outscored Kentucky 19-0 in the fourth quarter. 19-0. Going into the fourth quarter, it was 10-21 Kentucky. All they had to do was run the ball. Florida didn't even have their quarterback. It looked like Kentucky was such in a prime position to beat the Gators.
Yeah, I thought there was that Pitt-Pittsburgh game. Pitt-Penn State game. I thought that was
with the worst field goal call that, in my opinion, of the weekend.
It does a bad field goal call.
Well, the one that they missed, I can't remember what the situation was. I remember watching it with Cody at the house, and both of us were just dumbfounded at why they had kicked a field goal in whatever situation it was, and then they ended up
missed it anyways. Yeah, it was Pitt late. I think they were trying to kick it, and they still had their three timeouts, I do believe. So they thought kick it, and they'd get a chance. Because at that point, there was like 2 minutes and 50 seconds left. But, yeah, it made sense, in my opinion, to go ahead and go for it, try to get in there and score. That was not a bad game. But most teams rolled because there wasn't any ranked anybody that was ranked in the top 25 facing off anybody else. There was no ranked matchups for top 25 teams. The Fighting Herm Edwards pulled one out against Mike D'Antonio's bunch.
How about that? Did you see the end of that game?
Yeah, that was a crazy ending to that game.
12 men on me and Cody were watching that game.
Yeah, I watched that game.
And we flipped over, and damn, Tim Brando was on the call.
Yep.
And Michigan State had 12 men on the field for their field goal.
Flashback.
And then Tim Brando goes. He tells the whole damn story
of
2010 LSU.
Because he was calling that game.
God, wow. Here we go again.
Yeah. So that one wasn't bad.
Arizona That was right after me and Cody had finished watching the BYU USC game, and they showed the highlights from last week.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I cannot escape.
Iowa State was a pretty good matchup. UCF. They continue to roll, man. Like, they're not going to ever do anything prominent being in the college football playoff championship, but Josh Heupel and them boys, they continue to roll. They played nicely, but, yeah, it wasn't anything. Florida State lost a tough one again. Got kids in Tallahassee now, lemonade stands, trying to save enough money to get Willie Taggart's buyout going. Thought that was funny. It was one of my funniest things from the sports weekend.
That ain't no damn kid. This is his parents.
Oh, of course. I love it when they're like, my kid thought of doing this. No, you put your kid up to it, and you wanted to go viral.
Yeah, your
and
kid
you did.
Willing to go out there and figure out capitalism.
Your kid knew that Willie Taggart had a $15 million buyout.
You're going to have to sell a lot of lemonade, kid. A lot.